Some dreams make cubs laugh. Some dreams make them cry. It's interesting to think about.
Sorry. Let's try that again.
Okay. From the top. Some dreams make cubs laugh. Some dreams make them cry.
Okay. Can we skip silence? And let's try it one more time. Just take it from the top. Relax into it.
I'm trying to relax. That was kind of terrifying.
Okay.
Whew. Some dreams make cubs laugh. Some dreams make them cry.
All right,
Just do it as fast as you can, because this is really disgusting.
All right, some dreams make cubs laugh. Some dreams make them cry. It's interesting to think about what they dream and why.
It's in the can. Let's get this started.
All right.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and we've got a big episode today. Are you interested in the 80s? Are you interested in toy collecting? Are you interested in cartoons? Are you interested in shows within shows? Do you sometimes lay in your bed and dream about the toys you were never allowed to have as a kid? Do you ever lay in your bed and think about all the stuff that you grew up with and how amazingly important it was to you? I know that this is not one of those nostalgia-y podcasts where we just sit around and be like, yep, Silver Spoons was a thing, or there was H.R. Puffin stuff at some point. Like, I'm not that kind of show. Like, I like to actually talk about things, but boy, oh boy, are we going to dive into some nostalgia, because we are talking about the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, which isn't really about bad dreams so much as it is about collecting action figures in the 1980s, but we're also going to delve into the TV episode that's sort of based on the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, which isn't really based on the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream so much as it's like sort of vaguely influenced by it. And when I say we, who do I mean by we? We person, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Brian Skinner. I am a host of another podcast called Can We Just Be Friends? You don't have to look that up on iTunes.
Oh, go ahead. It is one of the most popular podcasts on iTunes.
It was for 1 week. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it just had this huge wave. It just crested.
It just crested, and then it just crashed.
Yeah, that's fine, because you had that moment.
I had that moment. Now it's just nostalgia to me. I just keep on holding on.
Well, speaking of nostalgia for, like, better days.
Yes.
Were you a child in the 80s?
I was.
That's awesome.
It was. It was great.
We had Reagan?
Yep. Well, I had Mulroney. I'm Canadian.
Oh,
that's
right. Oh, my goodness. So you had, like, a bizarro world.
Wait, I had the 80s. Bizarro world 80s. Also, tying with this episode, I had many Canadian government-granted cartoons.
Oh, right.
Like, by Nelvana. Just everyone's voice in the show, the Canadian country music start of it, beautiful music to my heart.
Now, for those of you who don't know, a lot of cartoons, especially cartoons that played on like USA, which was the cable network that like you turned to for alternative cartoons in the 80s, came from the land of Canada, and like they were always like they always had this feel to them that didn't quite jibe with what American cartoons were producing. There was like a Because they weren't necessarily like you had stuff like the Raccoons.
Yes, the Raccoons was from the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, played every single day.
Yeah,
every day, and I almost don't understand how it could even translate to you guys in the States.
It makes no sense. Like it's one of those cartoons that you watch, and it's like I don't understand why this got made or who made it. Like, why didn't you just make a series of like books or something? I don't know.
Like it was shown in prime time in Canada. Like it wasn't like. It wasn't just, you know, for the kids.
Oh, really? But, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's no adult who could put up with that show.
Was it like the Canadian, was it trying to be like the Canadian, like, Flintstones or something? Was it?
It's kind of like our flagship cartoon. Like, it had way more production value than you would see.
Yeah.
It kind of is in every Canadian's consciousness if you live in the 80s. Like, you saw that show. It was on that show. I don't know anyone who was really passionate about it. Like, but there's a lot of shows like that. Teddy Ruxpin was a Canadian production.
Yes.
And that show is crazy.
Now, what's funny is we didn't get Teddy Ruxpin on, like, our regular channel. The only times I ever saw Teddy Ruxpin growing up was on our Spanish channels.
Oh, okay.
Dubbed into Spanish. I would just come across it and be like, oh, there's Teddy Ruxpin. Like, I knew the doll. I knew the toys.
Yes.
But I didn't know the cartoon because no one broadcasted.
Well, you're missing out. One, they had educational pieces with, you know, Ben from, you know, from Growing Pains.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'd have a kid at the end who learned the lesson from the show.
Was it always Ben from Growing Pains?
I think there was other kids, too. I almost want to say Punky Brewster, but I don't think we could have got that.
Well, I want you to say Punky Brewster.
It's Punky Brewster. But the rest of the show was this epic fantasy with a long-running, complicated backstory.
Yeah.
And weird stuff like that just happened to, thanks to government grants for Canadian content, end up being made in Canada.
Was David the Gnome Canadian?
I think so.
Yeah. Because it had a beginning and a middle and an end.
Yeah. Now, like, when I visited home recently, most of the shows being made are like the Berenstain Bear shows. It's shows for younger viewers, a lot of educational shows. There's, like, I went back with my daughter Holly, and it shocked me just how many shows are up there that aren't down here. And they're very along the vein of these shows.
Yes. Yeah. Would you recommend people travel to Canada just to see these shows?
No, I do not.
No, okay.
Yeah. So just go for the poutine, maybe stay for a Wiggles knockoff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you just now getting Wiggles knockoffs up there?
Just now. We're a few years.
Because that show's pretty old.
It is evergreen.
So, growing up, though, did you have access to He-Man?
Yes, we did have all the major American franchises we did have, and Masters Universe was shown at a prime 4:30 before dinner, after school.
Now, that's kind of a loaded question, because I know you grew up with He-Man, because you and I have talked about He-Man
extensively
on, like, several occasions. It kind of means a lot to both of us. Like, there was this thing in the 1980s, so I know I've talked about this on the show before, but, like, in the 1980s, it was, in America especially, like, at least, like, there was this change in the laws so that they could suddenly start making cartoons based on toys.
Yeah.
Like, because that wasn't allowed, and then it was allowed. I don't know what's happening in Canada. That's a whole other thing.
Most of it came over.
Yeah.
As long as they had a few shows that were Canadian content, anything else could go.
Great. Yeah. So, we were just suddenly inundated with toys that functioned as, like, surrogates for the cartoons that we were watching. Like, you watch a cartoon and then you could play with the toys and you knew what to buy, and the cartoon served as primers for the toys and they told you what to buy, and then there were comics and then there were games and then there were ultimate, if you were lucky, there were motion pictures.
Oh yeah.
We had that with Transformers.
I could not have had more anticipation for that Transformers movie. It was a peak of just wanting something so bad. Much like the Space Grizzlies movie.
Right, which we'll get to. I just wanted to point out that for some reason as a child, even though I was excited about the Transformers movie, I was more excited about GoBots Battle of the Rock Lords.
Okay, yes.
I know that there's really no way to respond to that statement.
No, I liked the GoBots cartoon in general. Side note, you can edit this off the podcast. That first pilot episode where the evil GoBots take over all the humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just mind control them. Terrified me. I was afraid that would happen. That seemed real to me.
Well, we will have to get into that later on when we talk about the episode based on the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, which is about a child being terrified by a cartoon?
Yeah.
Like, live action? I don't know what they're watching. When a cartoon watches a cartoon, it's really hard to tell, like, what's real and what's not.
I assumed it was a cartoon because of the space aspect. I thought...
But it could have been, like, their version of, like, Sliders or, like, Battlestar Galactica.
I'm not laughing at Sliders right now.
Well, I was going to say, like, Battlestar Galactica or something, but then I was like, no, it looked a little cheaper
Maybe
than that.
Maybe Lex the Dark Zone for kids.
Right, or, like, My Secret Identity or Out of This World. Like, any of those, like, syndicated. We'll get to that. Let's go into, because there's so much to cover. Oh, my gosh. The Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream. This is a book that has stuck with me. What happens in this book? Let's take a look at it. Let's literally take a look at it.
I am literally opening the book.
Let's walk through this book. This, This is a book about He-Man. Like, it's about He-Man.
Well, Cloud Castle is...
Castle Grayskull!
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
The best toy to get.
But if you look at this book, so the book starts off talking about how much Brother Bear loves these things called Space Grizzlies.
Yes.
And Stan and Jan Berenstain have literally wallpapered the book with the characters from this show called Space Grizzlies, and they are bizarre and inexplicable and amazing. Like, I want to own each one of these things.
I like the guy who's just a smile, legs, and antenna.
Yeah.
He's got no arms. He's not a grizzly.
It's, like, you could... This is one of those things where the book understands the action figure cartoon craze of the 80s enough. Because this was 87.
Yep.
Understands it enough. Like, obviously, they saw this taking place. They either had kids or they knew kids that were going through this. Because it's abstract enough that it could almost be any toy. But it's very clearly Masters of the Universe.
Very clearly. And Brother Bear is doing what we would have done back then. Like, it's just... I don't know about you. I only got presents at Christmas.
Okay.
That is it. Yep. My birthday is by Christmas. The rest of the year, I was saving, mm-hmm. saving. And what we would do is we would make one trip in the summer to the States. And the Canadian dollar was better then, and just toys were cheaper. And there was Toys R Us down here. Was not there. So there was a wider variety of figures. I'd go in there, and that was my summer. Was just, I'm adding, this is 1987's collection.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to get this year. I'm getting Clawful. I'm getting Beastman. This is what I'm doing. And the book gets this. I mean, this is 100% the panic over it that our parents had
because
they were not used to these commercials as shows. It was considered like almost manipulative. No one understood it. It's just taken for granted now. Toys are commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
Our parents did not like it.
Yeah, it was a whole new thing.
Yeah, like, we were yelling and crying for toys. Like, apparently kids didn't cry for toys before us.
Right. Well, it was this funny thing, because I remember my mom saying to me when I was a kid, like, ugh, these cartoons are just 30-minute long commercials. And as a kid, like, I knew that. Like, I understood that. I was like, yeah, like, I want this show to tell me what toy to buy.
Yeah, like, I was excited for the catalog for Christmas to come out, because it would tell me what characters were going to be in the next season of the show. And it was, I loved the whole macro universe of it. I wanted all of it. This, everything added to it. The comics added to the toys, which added the cartoon. It was, to me, I liked that whole thing. It just spoke to me.
Unlike cartoons today, adults were not interested in this.
Not at all.
There was no, like, my dad was not, like, coming home to, like, watch He-Man with me.
Yeah, my dad was Papa Bear in this book. Yeah. My dad is a sea captain. Hard hands. He worked 2 weeks to a month at sea, 24-hour shifts. He came back. Whatever the boy's doing, he did not care.
Yeah.
Cartoons, like, my parents straight up tell me, when you hit a certain age, you're going to stop caring about cartoons, you're going to stop caring about toys, you're going to stop caring about video games, and you're going to drink coffee, read the paper, and become an adult. Our generation didn't quite do that.
No, they didn't. And I was actually having this conversation with a friend the other day about what is it that makes our generation like so like off kilter compared to previous generations? And it's that our generation grew up and replicated our generation, like replicated our childhoods.
Yes.
Like all of a sudden we became the creators of pop culture, and not me personally, but God, no.
Right now you're making a piece of pop culture.
I'm making a piece of pop culture that's discussing people making pieces of pop culture based on the pop culture they grew up with. But we recreated our childhoods in pop culture so that our kids are growing up with the exact same cartoons and characters that we grew up with.
Yes. Holly, just the other night, was watching He-Man.
Yep.
I have the full disc set. I also have all the She-Ra. She ate She-Ra up as a 6-year-old. Like, literally, I remember being up with her. She had fevers, 2 a.m. just watching She-Ra.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she didn't care for Bo, because who does?
No one likes Bo.
No one likes Bo. But, you know, I bought her a Hordak toy, the 1980s one, who's a different color than the show. And she played with that and She-Ra and Kat-Ra. It's just, it still spoke to her.
Well, and then we recreated He-Man in the early 2000s. There was a reboot. Mitzi was just watching the new Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah.
You can also watch, you know, if you want the new Popples, you can watch the new Voltron, which just came out. You can... That's traffic.
In the sky.
And I'm not, like, talking about, like, legacy characters, like, your Marvel characters or your DC characters who are perennial, like, who have always been around. Like, this is, like, deliberately, like, this was junk culture. This was junk entertainment.
It was supposed to be disposable.
Disposable. Utterly disposable. That we were like, no. We like this. We're going to make it... We're going to make the version of it that we wished it was.
Yes. Like, if you look back... And mind you, if you and I did do a nostalgia podcast, it would probably be called, like, As Good As We Remember.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah. But, you know, some people... rose-colored glasses, maybe they don't remember it as well. You see a lot of that with the real Ghostbusters cartoon. Everyone's like, oh, it's not what I remember. It's exactly what I remember, and I still love it.
Yeah.
But people are just taking that and filling in the blanks.
Right.
And which, you know what? We grew up loving these characters. It wasn't disposable to us. And why, when we became adults and thought, what do we want to do with our disposable income? Oh, we're going to recreate it all because we can. We have the power now. We're not going to bring back Howdy Doody. We're not going to, you know.
Although I would love to see
that would be pretty great.
A Howdy Doody reboot. So we're one page into this book. Brother Bear is obsessed with these space grizzlies. He's like, he's working odd jobs to collect more.
I mean, he could be recycling, but he's actually helping people out. He's mowing lawns. He's... you know, bringing in groceries.
Yep.
And dog walking.
Yeah, he's like starting his own business. He's doing everything he can to make money for these space grizzlies.
He's really doing it right. He's not whining for the toys.
Yes.
Like, I would thought, you know, in this book that it would, you know, go down that road because that was the constant complaint that, no, he's doing it right. He's working for it. He's buying it with his own money.
Yeah, his own money. And like, so I think that's one of the reasons the parents are less annoyed by it than they may be. Yeah. What's the, so the main space grizzly, the good guy, is Hero the Magnificent.
Yes, he's Hero the Magnificent. In the cartoon, it's Ursula, and there's a, I forget the female's name. I apologize.
I thought her name was Princess Ursa.
Princess Ursa.
Oh my gosh.
They're both bear names. It's neither of them are Hero, obviously.
But we'll get to that. Yeah. So right now it's Hero the Magnificent, and the bad guy is Sleezo. Which is a great name. You don't really get to see them very well. They're not bears.
No, they are.
They're called space grizzlies, but these are not bears. These are creatures.
Yeah, one appears to be a mouse bat.
Yeah, they're like things with weird armor on. Much like He-Man, they're like horrifying mutants.
Yes, if you think about that bee guy, he's terrifying.
Yeah, and they're riding around in like little skiffs and ships that are not unlike the strange little devices that He-Man rode around on.
Yep, so one of them is almost one to one with it.
Yeah, the battle ram.
Battle ram, yes.
Yep, and so Brother's obsessed with this. He saves up enough money to go buy Sleezo's Cloud Castle, which is the big like playset that he wants at the mall. And what does he see at the mall?
He sees a poster for Space Grizzlies the movie.
Now let's another nostalgia flashback. When I was a kid, you didn't find out about movies until you started seeing posters and commercials for them.
Yes, and for me, a lot of it was, I was too excited going into the movie to really notice the posters.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, the multiplex meant three screens.
Yeah.
So you're in lineups, you're lots of people, you get in there, and then I come out, and then the lobby would be empty because the movies end at different times. And you just look at the movie posters and like, oh my God, there's a Transformers movie coming.
Yes. All right. So what happens? They okay. So what did we mention that Brother Bear saw a poster for the movie?
Yes, he saw the poster for the movie. And now he has purchased Cloud Castle. He is going home. He wants to play with this. He wants to get in and really have the biggest play time ever. He has everything he needs to set the fantasy.
To play the biggest game of Space Grizzlies you've ever seen. The biggest Space Grizzly game ever, which is a weird way to phrase it. Like
that's an adult phrasing thing.
Yeah, that's
kid.
What your parents say. Like, oh, you guys going to play a game of Transformers? Like you wouldn't say that to your friends.
Exactly. Or like I used to set up elaborate Sky Commander stuff in the basement, like strings everywhere. It never worked. My father would come downstairs and look at my friend and I and go, who's winning?
Who's winning? Yeah.
And I just look at him like, winning what? And unfortunately, and I don't do that to my daughter all the time just to amuse myself.
So in any case, brother wants to play the biggest game of space grizzlies anyone's ever seen. The only person to play with is sister, so she cuts a deal.
She cuts a deal. If he wants to play with his 1980s toys, he has to play with her first.
She has to play with her 1950s toys. Paper dolls.
Uh-huh.
Jacks. Beanbag toss.
Who has their own beanbag toss?
But I want everyone to keep this in mind, though. Paper dolls, jacks, beanbag toss, because these will come up later.
Oh, yes. This is world building step by step.
And not to digress, but I do want to say I'm glad they refer to as beanbag toss and not cornhole, which is what some people call it.
That was new to me when I moved to the States, yeah. And someone said that. And okay, when you've moved from Texas to here, and mm-hmm. I moved, you know, different country, cross continent. There are certain things where someone says to you, and you stare at them like, "Are you messing with me?"
Right.
One was duck, duck, gray duck,
mm-hmm.
and the other was cornhole.
Cornhole.
Also, kittywampus. When someone said that to me the first time, I was like, "Are you messing with me?" Mind you, when I told them that we called Hot Wheels dinkies, they thought I was messing with
them.
That's
the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It is.
I've
pretty
never weird. Heard that.
They're called dinkies. I don't know why. I googled that once. It's there's a story behind it, but I forgot.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Hot Wheels. It sounds cooler than dinkies.
But well, there's matchboxes, aren't Hot Wheels?
Well, you call matchboxes, and Hot Wheels, Hot Wheels.
They're both two different brands of dinkies.
Oh, I see. So that's like just your small diecast.
Your
car
small
diecast
is a dinky, and you would take them and you take hockey sticks and you smash them.
I don't know what that means.
That's what we did with them when we got tired. I had so many. There's two toys I had multiples of for no reason. One, don't know why, because I am in East Coast Canada, the General Lee. I had several General Lees, and I had no less than four Mork from Orcs in the eggs. I had many Mork.
Many a Mork in Eastern Canada.
I don't know why. I think it was on sale, and I just kept buying it.
Was Mork and Mindy really big in that part of the world?
No, because I think that's why it was on sale.
Oh. People love a man in an egg.
They do.
Nanu nanu.
Nanu nanu. The paint came off him real easy.
So anyway, they're paper dolling and cornholing, and then she decides that came out. But then they play Space Grizzlies. And Sister Bear's really into it.
She is. She is the hero.
Yep.
She's not even having to role play as the bad guy.
Right. I assume that Brother Bear wants to be Sleazo because...
Cloud Castle.
Because he has the Cloud Castle.
Yes.
But she's like, she gets it. She gets what Hero of the Magnificent is. She understands how to play Space Grizzly. She knows the characters.
Yeah, she knows that one touch from his sleep wand will put... sleep wand?
Sleep. Okay. Digression. I'm going to assume this is a concession to the idea that in the 1980s, although you had all these action cartoons, no violence was actually allowed.
Well, that eventually nunchucks were outlawed
on Ninja Turtles. Yeah, they replaced it with a grappling hook.
Leonardo never cut anything that was human.
He-Man never hit anyone.
No,
he never cut anything with his sword.
He reflected things.
He reflected lights with his sword, and he threw people. He would throw Skeletor into a swamp or into a mud puddle.
Mind you. Don't try this at home, kid. Being thrown into things
sucks. It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Don't throw your friends.
No, don't throw your friends.
But so a sleep wand makes sense.
Yes.
That he would just put it. He would just put everyone to sleep.
Nice dreams
into a dream. So Sister Bear plays this big game, and then Papa Bear makes the announcement that Space Grizzlies movie that Brother was interested in is going to be opening up.
See, I thought Papa Bear was going to be secretly into this because he found it. He brought it up.
Yeah.
No, he still doesn't go.
He's just courteous.
He's just a father who understands his son has worked hard and he enjoys this.
I will say that, like, it sets a great example for kids, like, to go out and work for yourself. Like,
yeah.
If you want a little extra, like, your parents will buy you some stuff. But if you want extra, there's stuff you can do. Like, so they decide to go see the Space Grizzlies movie, even though Sister thinks it looks scary. But there's another movie playing in the same theater called...
The Magic Toe Shoes.
The Magic Toe Shoes, which is... I guess it's supposed to be kind of like just your typical... like your My Little Ponies movie or your... just your Care Bears movie, just really saccharine, obvious
yeah.
little girl movie.
Still, I had assumed she... Once again, we have not gotten to the bad dream yet.
No, there's no dreams yet. We're well past the halfway point in this
Yes. Book. I thought at this point, well, she's going to get the bad dreams from going to the Space Grizzlies movie.
Nope.
No, she does not go.
Nope.
She goes to a movie that she enjoys.
Yeah, she goes to a good little kid's movie about magic toe shoes, which is just like you said... She's given a. It's about a wobbly ballerina who's given a pair of magic toe shoes.
Toe shoes. That's a great word.
The day of the big dance, she forgets her magic toe shoes. She finds out that they weren't really magic. The magic was in her the whole time. She dances. That was literally the whole movie.
A great story. Tale as old as time.
Yep. You just dropped $7 a ticket for what has to have been a 10-minute long movie.
Amazingly, in the one picture, Papa Bear is not asleep in the movie.
Right, he's kind of into it.
Yeah, he looks real happy.
He's attentive.
He is really into this.
So what happens, his brother goes to see Space Grizzlies with his friends, and the rest of the family goes to see the Magic Toe Shoes. We're treated to a 2-page spread, though, of the Space Grizzlies movie, which looks awesome.
It looks like almost what you almost wish He-Man would look like.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more variety because they don't have to keep to a body shell that they have.
Right. So, right. The Space Grizzlies are actually a better toy series than He-Man just because it's varied.
Yeah, it's not the same torso on everybody.
Right.
And the two different versions of feet. You either have bird feet or you're wearing boots.
That's right. And some of them had a giant fist or a hook.
And Beastman had furry feet.
Right.
Yeah.
But man, that pretty much broke the bank for Mattel. Like,
yeah.
Moss Man was covered in moss. The Space Grizzlies movie looks fantastic. It's a widescreen picture. The kids are enjoying it. There's, again, a concession to old-timiness that we'll always get from the Berensteins. There's a kid in the front row wearing a whoopee cap.
Yep.
Just like Jughead, just like all of your favorite cartoon toughs from the 1930s.
Yeah, just throw that in there. It's timeless, but except for it's not.
It's not timeless at all. He's wearing a whoopee cap.
So the kids are enjoying the movie, but as we get closer to the dream, Brother Bear does find it just a little bit scary.
Or as they confusingly write it, not a little scary.
Yeah, which makes you think. It makes you work for it.
Wait, it's not a little scary.
So it's a lot scary.
It's a lot scary. Or it's just not a little scary. Like, it's not scary at all. Like, it could mean...
I would have been confused except for Brother Bear's eyebrows are pointed up.
Oh, yeah. They've got... He's
concerned.
He's engrossed in the film, but this is like, it's probably like when you went to go see Transformers, the movie.
When the smoke comes out of Bron's mouth.
Right.
And his eyeballs.
When you start seeing your favorite Autobots get shot in the face in the opening scene, and you're like, oh, no.
Every now and then, I will, like, every 2 years, I'll watch that
mm-hmm.
and think, was that as visceral of imagery as I thought it was? Yes, it was.
We were having a conversation online the other day about what are movies that like contain suddenly scenes that didn't seem to fit? Like the overall theme of the movie, and I would say that kids who paid tickets to see Transformers weren't expecting to see that much death.
So it is finally time. It is
for
dark.
The bad dream.
It is. It's dark. They are going home. They are going to have to doze off, and then I read this book 3 times before I realized the book insinuates. Not only do the bear cubs not recognize a nightmare, they don't know what a dream is.
Yeah. So the basic premise of this book, of the end of this book, is that the bear cubs are completely inexperienced with the concept of dreaming.
Yes.
Like they do not know dreams from reality.
Like Sister Bear wakes up, her eyes are at the ceiling, mm-hmm. straight up. Her mouth is open as wide as bear possible.
Yeah, oh my goodness. It's the widest you will ever see a Berenstain Bear's mouth open.
It is comically large.
She is screaming.
Yes, and if you had a kid who has had, not just nightmares.
Night terrors,
which yep. is, if you're not a parent, you probably don't know the difference unless you have roommates or something. It is awful.
Yeah.
Your kids are acting like someone tried to murder them, and it's near impossible to calm them down. That's how scared she looks about her bad dream.
Right.
Bad dream does not seem like a strong enough phrase for how she looks in this picture.
Right. She is irrational. There is actually a shot of her running out of the bed. You can tell by the look on her face that she's not awake.
No, she is.
She's still in the grip of a night terror. But it's not a night terror because it's just a nightmare. Like, it's a... Because night terrors and nightmares are different things. Like,
yes.
They're triggering by different parts of the brain.
Yes.
And she's having a nightmare. She's still caught up in the terror of it, and she's screaming and running to her parents, but her eyes are, like, completely, like, contracted. Her pupils are contracted. They're pointing in different directions.
Brother Bear, in all his concern, calls her a silly head and then falls back to sleep.
Even though he's just been woken up. Remember, they sleep in the same bedroom in bunk beds. He has been woken from his sleep by a child screaming in terror.
It takes me a good hour and a half to get back down after Holly's woken up. Real screaming is more than... There's a human trigger in everybody else.
Yep.
Maybe not in bears.
Maybe not in bears. Maybe they're used to screaming in the night.
Just on that, her parents are really good with this.
They are so cool with this. Sister Bear jumps into Mama and Papa Bear's bed, freaked out with her night, with whatever it was that happened, because she doesn't know.
Yeah, she does not understand. She does not understand that was not reality.
And so the exchange goes, "Tell us about your dream," said Mama. "Dream?" Sister said. "Yes," said Papa. "You must have had a nightmare. That's the word for a bad dream." Keep in mind, Sister Bear is more than 5 years old because she's gone to kindergarten. That was a while. That was years ago. So she's at least a year older.
See, I thought maybe this was for the kids reading it. But
I am sure it is.
But at the same time, they would also.
Right.
If they could understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. To quote a great movie.
What, did you want me to quote a great movie?
No, I'm not going to say it. I'll the audience fill in which movie I'm talking about.
Okay, great.
Jackie Chan's in it.
Drunken Master 2?
Rush Hour.
Oh.
But by the time you can understand what your parents are saying in the book, you know what a dream is.
Yeah.
It's one of the first concept kids get.
Yeah, it seems a weird thing for them to have to clarify. Like,
yes.
Like, you're reading your child a book called The Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream. I assume your child knows what a bad dream is.
It's going to get weirder with that.
Yeah. Let's get weird.
Okay. So how Mama Bear calms her down is to tell her, you know, tell me about your dream.
Yep.
I bet it's interesting.
I bet it's interesting.
So we get to learn about her dream.
Now, remember everything that happened previously to this, because this apparently is how dreams work.
Yes, it is literally what you did that day on a pizza.
Yes. It is. Sister Bear is in her ballet outfit. She is dancing on her toes, and she's dancing on the beanbag board, and space grizzlies start popping out of the beanbag board. And she falls down one of the holes and keeps falling and falling and falling until she wakes up.
I kept waiting for how Jax was going to fit in this, unless she's the ball.
Something.
Yeah.
But, okay, so this is the equivalent of going, this is the equivalent of saying, I had an interview for a job yesterday. Last night, I had a dream that I had a really bad job interview. Could you please explain to me what this dream means? Like, I think it's fairly obvious what your dream means.
Yes, and also, I would imagine the Sister Bear is well acquainted with reality.
Yes.
At this point in her life, she's in kindergarten, and that while anything is possible in Bear Country, this would not have been.
Yeah.
And also, she was in bed.
Right. And her mama describes this as, you know, it was scary. She agrees that it was a terrible nightmare, but she also says it was very interesting.
And that solves the problem. Like, the next page, Sister Bear is smiling.
And Mama, like, totally 1001 Dreams Explained, walks her through her dream, explaining that each part of her dream came from something that happened to her that day, because that's how dreams work, right?
Right. That's exactly how it works. You know, I'm going to have a nightmare tonight, or a dream, maybe both, of us having a podcast. Perhaps I'll be attacked by a giant bottle of Coke Zero.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to run to the store to get an SD card, and you'll come back with a grizzly bear.
Right. Like, that's because that's how dreams work. It's just everything that happened to you that day tells a different story made up of those specific nouns.
Yes. Brains are very, very easy to understand.
But it does calm sister down. And I'll say, like, from a parent perspective, that is a legit way to, like, sort of distract your child from their fears, is to, like, be like, ooh, well, let's talk about it.
They react fine. You don't.
Yeah.
Because you're, as a parent, your first reaction is to tell the kid, calm down.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, talk to me about it.
Yeah.
And they explain in a way that would make sense to her. And they are nonplussed about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They are wide awake. They aren't trying to go back to sleep. Good parents. Much better than me.
Because I would have just been like, get back to bed.
It's 2 o'clock. Daddy has to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own nightmares.
They're called this life. It's called this life. So then, but wait, the book's not over.
No, it is not, because
all of a sudden, Brother Bear starts screaming.
Amazingly, he as well has had his very first dream.
His very first dream. This is a big night for the bears.
What was in their dinner?
So what is? So Brother Bear starts a hollering. He does the same thing. He runs into his parents' bedroom screaming help, as you do.
Yep.
And they're after me, as you do. And he dreams that, okay, first of all, he's never heard of nightmares.
Once again.
Sister Bear schools him on what a nightmare is.
Yep.
And he says that he was eating dinner and the food turned into space grizzlies. Now, we did skip over the point that they were eating earlier in the book and he wasn't allowed to have space grizzlies at the table.
Yes,
that's one of the rules. No space grizzlies at the table.
That's a rule at everybody's house.
Yes. And gigantic space grizzlies come after him. They chase him until he turns into a paper doll.
Which is terrifying.
And then all of his clothes come flying off.
Which is terrifying.
Which is very interesting. And
he is wearing underwear.
And then that's it.
Yep.
He gets chased by his favorite toy and all of his clothes come off.
Yep.
And Mama's like, ha.
You're awake now.
You're awake. Notice that she doesn't, like, walk Brother Bear through it.
Sister Bear informs him.
Yeah.
So maybe we're making an assumption that he doesn't know, but he does seem really confused.
Right.
That it was not reality.
Yeah.
And then in one page, everything's fine.
Yep. Let me explain it to you. And they did. And that's it. Like.
Yeah. It's called the bad dream.
Right.
Because they couldn't call it
the awesome toys.
The awesome toys or space grizzlies or how to deal with He-Man and your child.
Berenstain Bears and woo, it's the 80s.
Woo, woo, woo. What's up with the 80s, yo?
This is there's two bad dreams. So yes. It could have been called the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dreams, but it wasn't.
It was singular. So one dream trumped the other. I think his dream is a lot worse.
His dream?
Yeah.
I think his dream, it makes more sense to me
people have a fear of public humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
The clothes off thing. It's a standard pop culture joke. That is something that manifests sometimes in your head.
Right.
Yeah. His clothes fall off.
His clothes fall off.
And he's two dimensional, which he actually is, but
he has, yeah.
But like, he's become more so.
Well, we enter like a real meta space here.
Yeah.
What's funny is because the space grizzlies in the book are not bears, because they're so abstract, it's easy for me to grasp the fact that they're watching a cartoon.
Yes.
Like, this is these are fictional creatures and monsters. I think that one of the reasons the space grizzlies in this book look so awesome and are so like, I want to collect these, is because Stan and Jan Berenstain did a really good job at making them look different from the rest of the Berenstain Bears world.
And you can imagine that they actually would be scary, especially to Sister.
Yeah.
Because they're abstract, so to her, they may be grotesque. Because they're not just bears.
Right.
Unlike the episode where not of the show, where they're not only are they bears, which, you know, they're space grizzlies, that makes sense. They're drawn in exactly the same manner as the actual Berenstain Bears.
There's an episode?
There's an episode. I imagine in your last episode, you talked about an episode.
Well,
I want to do this on the episode I'm guesting on, too.
Well, I guess since we already said we were going to, maybe it's time to transition into the Berenstain Bears TV show, which I've never talked about.
Really?
I've never talked about it. Oh, I've talked about the 1980s TV show.
Yeah.
But we're in a whole new mess of cartoons here because this story was adapted for the 2000s PBS TV show.
Somewhere deep in Bear Country lives a Berenstain Bear family. The kind of furry around the torso. They're a lot like people, only more so. The bear fact is that they're just like you and me. The only difference is they live in a tree. the Berenstain Bears.
Now, I grew up with the Berenstain Bears on Saturday mornings when they did a new series, which canonically is supposed to take place in the same timeline as the Saturday morning show. It's supposed to be a continuation.
Yeah.
I was very excited because I had a child by this point, and I was like, oh, they get to see the Berenstain Bears, kind of like I grew up with. It's a very different show. The animation style is different. It's a lot cleaner looking.
It is very clean looking.
The kids are very good. They don't act like Brother and Sister Bear do in the books. Like, they're not bratty.
They don't have those moments of just, like, every now and then the bears in the books act up.
Yeah.
They are kids.
Even Papa. Even Mama. Like, there's yelling and temper tantrums from the adults and the kids. In the PBS series, there's no raised voices.
No, this is aimed at calming kids who are in front of a TV. To the point where it took me a few seconds to get used to the fact that when they talk, much like in a podcast where you're Skyping,
yeah,
there's a pause between everybody saying something, moving frame to the next person, they look at them, and then they speak.
Yeah. It's almost like if you ever watch actors rehearsing a play, there's this acting exercise where you read the line to yourself in the script, and then you look up, you make eye contact with your scene partner, and then you speak the line. And it's a way of, like, making sure you understand the meaning of what you're saying. That's what that cartoon is like every single line of the show.
You get used to it by the end, but, okay, besides Space Grizzlies, Berenstain Bears without polka dots, and A Bad Dream, there is very little in common with the book and the show.
It's the Berenstain Bears equivalent of the Lawnmower Man movie, which is...
Thank you.
Has the same title.
Yep.
Has a couple of lines that are the same. Otherwise, it's an entirely new story.
Yep. And whereas the book, it's setting up things, but it appears to meander a bit at the start for what the title is. It has nothing on this show where at first they decide it is movie night. Family TV night. And they're all excited for the Space Grizzlies television show.
So this is a TV show that comes on in prime time.
Of course. Papa Bear is stoked.
It's not a children's show so much as like a family show.
Yes.
Before the show, we were talking about like trying to come up with an equivalent to it. I would say like...
Lex the Dark Zone.
Okay. I was thinking like, you know, like My Secret Identity, Out of This World, Small Wonder.
Yeah.
Like a goofy syndication. Xena.
Yes. Like something not high budget. The parents can laugh at it, but they're still engaged in it.
Relatively non-threatening, but that might contain elements that are maybe a little much for a five-year-old.
PG-9, how about?
Yeah, yeah. It's at one of those shows that maybe when Sister Bear's an adult, she'll be like, oh yeah, I remember this show, kind of.
Yeah, so, okay, when I was a kid, you know, the show we did this with was The Muppet Show. It was on Saturday nights. Family would, you know, I would go get my bath, go get ready, and we would have a snack. It was always popcorn.
Okay.
Always popcorn. The bears have a fair system because there's multiple of them. Apparently, the adults all are also on the schedule. They have a schedule of who gets to pick the snack.
Right.
So they go to figure out who is going to pick the snack for this show. The schedule is confusing. For reasons not given.
Right, right.
They're not sure. So they all get to have what they want, which is great because we can all have what we want.
And what do they want?
They want honey squares.
Honey squares. Now describe honey squares real quick.
It is a piece of bread with honey spread on it.
All right. What's the next snack?
Peanut butter.
Oh, cut into squares.
Cut into squares. Peanut butter and banana roll-ups.
Okay.
Which is peanut butter and a peanut butter sandwich with a banana in the middle, rolled up and cut into slices.
Okay.
And celery with cheese.
In it,
but they just call it celery with cheese.
Celery with cheese.
And Papa Bear is very excited because Sister Bear originally just says celery, and then he yells, with cheese!
And they make the celery with cheese is a, like, presumably kind of like a little boat.
Yep.
Because we know it's like a little boat because they put a little flag in it.
Yes, and you'd think that would be part of the name of it, but it isn't.
But it's not. Now, why do we know so much about these snacks?
Because for the first 3 minutes of this show, after the long country, Canadian country music start of it, which is actually kind of nice, they use the word torso in it.
Yes.
they just make the snacks. And it what amused the heck out of me on this was Brother Bear is excited to see the show. He's worried they're not going to make it. So they say, we better hurry. And then they do not.
Right. they spend minutes of airtime making these snacks in detail.
Yeah, it's not cheap animation, not repeating things.
This is not a long episode either.
No, it's 12 minutes.
It's 12 minutes. So for a quarter of this episode,
they're making snacks.
They're making snacks.
And this will come back.
Yeah. They sit down to watch a show called Space Grizzlies, which
yes.
only has like three characters.
Yeah, they have Princess Ursa.
Uh-huh. Captain so-and-such. I can't think of his name.
He's not important. Actually, she's important because she's part of the solution.
Yeah.
But most important
is... We're introduced to a new villain.
A new villain. He shares a name with the villain from the book, but Sleazo is a different character.
It's a totally different character. Sleazo is...
He's a mastermind of space.
Yes. And for the people at home, all these characters just look like the bears.
Yes.
They're just bears in like spacesuits.
Yeah, they are drawn the same...
Sort of Flash Gordon-y.
Very Flash Gordon-y.
Yeah, kind of Flash Gordon-y characters.
Like kids in the... The millennials love Flash Gordon.
And Sleazo... Has a laugh. You will hear this laugh many times in this episode of the Berenstain Bears.
What is amazing to me is that the first time I heard it, I thought, that's funny. They really drug that out. And it keeps going. And then he laughs again. And it... I would say there's 30 seconds of this show, at least, of just him laughing.
It's a maniacal laugh, it's very irritating, and it terrifies Sister.
Yeah, like, Papa and Brother mock him for not actually being scary.
Yeah.
Sister is immediately turned off to him, just does not like the sound of his voice.
Yep.
Mama kind of notices, but kind of doesn't really care at first.
Right. It's one of those things where I have this with my five-year-old, which is, with Mitzi, which is... When she's watching something, I'll notice the signs when it's getting a little too intense for her.
Yes, like Holly will start to tense up. Mama Bear, I love this line. She goes, where does he get that laugh?
Mm-hmm.
Like you go to the laugh store.
Yeah, where does he get that laugh? She says it to me. She says it almost as like, say.
Say, look.
Like, I think whoever's playing Sleazo maybe catches Mama's eye a little bit.
Yeah, I can imagine if this was it's a little bit more real life, Mama Bear would pull out her cell phone, pull up Wikipedia, look up the credits for this. And like, oh.
Also, if this wasn't like the early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Time passes so quickly, doesn't it?
Well, what I was going to say is that I'm going to assume that this is a quote-unquote live-action show they're watching.
I'm going to go with you in this just because, like I said, they're drawn just like the bears.
Yeah, and the adults are watching it. It's prime time.
Yeah.
It's nighttime. So Sister's a little uptight about this show, but Brother is really into it. Now we sort of get into the notion of toys.
Kind of, yes.
But kind of.
They make their toys.
They make their own toys out of clay?
Yeah, like not Lego like, or...
Right, really good toys. Like they look great.
Yeah, I am not anywhere near as good with this clay. I've played with clay with Holly, and I played Cranium, and it doesn't turn out so well.
which is another reason I believe this is a live-action show, because... They're just not selling a lot of action figures for.
No, like if this was a cartoon and Brother Bear loves this, and we know Brother Bear's a hardworking kid.
Yeah,
he would have had toys for this.
Right,
but they go and make some.
And this is pre like Funko Pops, so there's not going to be like.
Can you imagine there was a world before Funko Pops?
He's not going to the Target end caps in the toy section where they sell like the Breaking Bad dolls.
Don't you love when you say end caps to somebody who's just not hip on the shopping lingo?
Nah, I always got to say it.
Yeah,
that's on an end cap. A what?
What?
You know the shelves on the end of the.
The clearance section.
the Target clearance section. That's definitely where Space Grizzlies would be, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They would be in the Target clearance section with the Angry Birds toys.
And the Littlest Pet Shop ones from last year.
Yep. Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, God, and the discontinued like Monster High dolls.
Oh, they're the worst.
Yep.
The ones with two heads and only three legs. It doesn't make any sense.
God, how do they work?
I don't understand. Why would you want that? Girls.
So you sort of have a version of Brother and Sister playing with Space Grizzlies from the book where they play with they've created the Princess Ursa doll.
Yeah.
And he has a Sleazo doll.
Because Sleazo is the coolest.
Sleazo is the coolest. And it even freaks out Sister. She doesn't like to be in the same room as this
Yeah. So do we jump to the next weekend? Because they go, and it's time for them to watch another episode.
I'm going to presume that it's the next week.
Yeah, like, so it's not the next day. It's not clear, but I assume that. But she's still not feeling it.
No. Like, I think she's had, like, a week to stew about this.
Yeah.
Will this evil villain be returning this week?
He is.
And they sit down to watch the show, and Sister leaves the room.
Yeah. And she goes and makes honey squares.
More honey squares. She pours honey on bread.
She cuts off the edges. She makes enough for an army.
She makes a pile of honey squares.
And one can only assume that before the show started, they had already made snacks.
Yeah.
Because they do that. Where is this? Why?
They're bears. They can probably eat.
Yeah, they probably can eat a lot.
And they'll probably eat spoiled food.
Well, maybe they'll put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frozen honey squares.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It does. So Mama comes in to talk to her.
And eats honey squares.
And eats some honey squares. And offers her some really good advice.
You're not too fond of Sleezo, are you?
He kind of scares me.
Well, the important thing to remember is that when you're afraid of something, it always helps to talk about it. Sometimes that makes it not so scary.
I've been having bad dreams about Sleezo, Mama. In one of my dreams, he came right out of the television, laughing that scary laugh.
Sleezo is a made-up character. He's just pretend like someone dressed up in a costume for Halloween. But that doesn't mean he still can't be pretty scary. And no matter what it is, if anything on television frightens you, you don't have to watch it.
I don't?
No, you don't.
Then I think I'd like to go up to my room and do some coloring.
Okay, then. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Mama. Talking about it does make me feel better.
And so she does come up with another solution to how to soften the edge on Sleezo in case she has to be in the same room, because this family's going to watch this show. It's not ending. Papa and brother love
the show, and it was just fine, which is fine.
Which is fine. And then they don't have a huge house. You know, sometimes you don't want to be away from your family. You come in and you're like, what's this? Or I guess I'll be here. So she has the Sleezo toy, and she has Princess Ursa.
And what does she do with them?
Well, there's only one solution to make every happy ending. If you have a problem, marriage.
Marriage. Marry that problem.
Marry that problem. It'll go away, because really, she's going to change that man.
Yeah, she is. Sleezo. And you know what they say? Women are really attracted to Sleezos.
They are. I've heard that on the internet.
I've heard that. It has to be true.
They don't like nice guys.
I bet if I got on Twitter right now and asked, are women attracted to Sleezos? I bet there's any number of men who would respond in the positive.
And if you asked, no, I won't make a joke about bears.
But do you know what we skipped?
What did we skip?
The bad dream.
Because it's not a really big part of this entire show.
There is a bad dream in this episode where she's attacked by space grizzlies?
I think so, yes.
One of the cubs, it must have been her. It's just faceless space grizzly Sleezos sort of multiply and advance on her.
And the laughing again, because that laugh.
But it's not really, there's no like symbolism, there's no like...
No, I mean, she's not being attacked by honey squares and peanut butter and banana slug.
But I would pay to see that.
I would. Like, it says a lot. In the book, I was waiting for the dream. I've watched this episode 3 times in the last week, taking notes. I did not take a note on the dream.
Yeah.
It is called The Bad Dream. The message in this is a little muddled.
Yeah.
Like, but it didn't have to be an episode based on this book.
It could have been called The Berenstain Bears and the Scary TV Show or something, because the message is ultimately, hey, kids, if something's on TV and it scares you, or, you know, if there's something pop culturally that you don't like, just let it go. Like, you don't have to...
Yeah, and that's an okay thing for kids. Kids, the idea for a kid that... TV shows are scary because kids, generally when they start watching TV, only watch shows you curate for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they probably assume every show is good. And they're eventually going to come across, especially sometimes maybe when you're not there, a show that's scary.
Yeah.
And they'll feel maybe peer pressure to watch it, or they shouldn't be afraid. There's a basic message of this show. If this episode was called Berenstain Bears and the Scary TV Show, just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Just go find something that calms you about it. And that's okay.
Yeah. And also, as is obvious in my case, what doesn't scare one child might terrify the other, and yeah. vice versa. There's no show that's perfect for every kid.
Right.
So if one kid is into something and the other kid's like scared of it, that doesn't mean that the show's not scary. That kid's wrong.
And you'll have parents who will do that to you.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, your kid's afraid of that? What's wrong with
right.
your kid? My kid is fine with it. It's another, you'll get that, and the, my kid eats that. Why doesn't your
yeah.
parenthood?
Every kid is different.
Every kid is different, and you just, you'll work with it.
Right.
And Mama Bear works with it. She comes up with a solution. My problem with it being about the bad dream is we already established she was scared.
Yeah.
We always established she wanted to leave the room. She did need to have a nightmare about it. But,
yeah.
you know, why not?
But, wow. So we talked for a long time about two Berenstain Bears properties.
Yeah. Well, there was two things. And there, what else were we going to do? Make honey squares?
I know. God, we should have made honey squares before we started. But you know what? If we had made honey squares, they would be covered in bugs.
Yes. Once again, we are recording this in nature.
We're recording this in nature. The kids are inside the house playing. I thought it would be better to be outside. And I think it was true. Like, there's no way we could have been in the house with those two.
No, those two are monsters.
Yeah. They're creating noise. They're...
If you've heard Mitzi on this show, or if you've heard Holly on my show, they're much worse than reality.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible to be around.
Lovely children. I love
yeah,
them.
Yeah, wonderful. I love them to death. But I, cutting to the chase, I love the book, The Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream. I've read it a million times. I recommend it to anyone. It's hilariously illustrated. It's very creative.
Oh, yeah. If you lived the life we've lived, and... I don't know, box office receipts alone have told me that, yes, we're a target audience.
Yes, we are.
You will instantly just identify with thing after thing after thing in this book. And I don't know, the parenting message is actually pretty good in this. Just be calm.
Just be calm.
Yeah.
And for the TV episode, it's fine. If you got 12 minutes, I'd say give it a look.
Okay, you probably heard the laugh right now. We probably dropped it in a few
times.
Yeah. It's absolutely worth it to see them make all those snacks and hear that laugh. Because mm-hmm. taken aside by itself, the laugh is funny. Watching it go on and on and on and on is wonderful. It's such a great budget thing. I enjoyed it immensely.
It's worth it for that. It's worth it for the Canadian country theme song,
it
which
is.
Contains the lyrics. They're a lot like people, only more so, as well as they're just like you and me,
yep.
which I'm like... Are they like us only more so, or are they just like you and me?
The problem is the song is so long because it is really long. They start contradicting themselves because they just have to have more to say.
Yeah.
And they do rhyme more so with torso.
And finally, a young Michael Cera is the voice of Brother Bear.
Of course.
Which is painfully obvious when you listen to it now.
Yes.
And he's got the thickest accent I've ever heard.
It just sounded natural to me.
Yeah.
I'm going home in a few weeks. It just got my heart ready for it.
Great. So Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, big thumbs up from me. Add it to your Berenstain Bears library if you don't have it. It's a hoot. Questionable moral lessons, I guess. If your kids don't know what dreams are, there's probably better resources for you out there, but
nope,
they're going to have to learn eventually. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here. I had a very good time.
That's awesome. I would never say that again.
I would have also said that if you had a strawberry shortcake podcast.
Thank you. Oh, don't even get me any ideas. Again, we can hear you on internet radio.
Yes, I have a mouth music podcast called Can We Just Be Friends? It's just me and my internet friend Kip Reed. We're Canadian-American. Learning to become friends while he insults me. So
yeah.
That's basically it. It's a little explicit sometimes. I apologize for that. I want to give you that caveat. But if you can't find us on iTunes, Can We Just Be Friends? Or don't find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at CWJBF.
Awesome. You can find us at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. You can find us on Twitter at bstainbearcast. You can contact us at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes. We got a few new reviews recently, and that really just warmed my fuzzy little heart. We'll be back next week with more Berenstain Bear goodness. We got some collectibles coming up. We got some more episodes of the show. We got some more books coming up. We're just barreling towards, I would say towards home base, but...
It never ends.
There's no end in sight with this.
Oh, there better not be.
Yeah. So we will see everybody next week deep in Bear Country.
Wow, I can't wait to see how next week's episode turns out.